One of the things that I did yesterday as I was going between sleeping and waking was to watch the streaming online funeral of Myogen, my old friend Steve Stuckey. And I was so struck again by his incredible character. I worked with him up at Empty Nest Zendo up in the foothills of the Sierras in the SPOT program that I guess Donna Lynn and Joe were a part of that, and both of them, just priest training program. So Steve and I were shared the same space often in the SPOT program. And to watch people's gratitude as one by one people stood up and remembered Steve and remembered his character. So much of what we all remember was his sense of gratitude. He made gratitude his practice. Which sounds like a very almost lovey-dovey kind of thing. Oh, I'm so grateful for my life. I'm so grateful for the good food I'm eating. But real gratitude practice includes being grateful for getting a stomachache in the middle of the night or coming down with cancer, which is what happened to him. And he continued all the 4 weeks that he was sick to find ways of being grateful, which is a kind of gift, which is a great gift. It's one of the best ways of giving. It puts everyone at ease, including oneself. So it put me in mind of what Dogen called the four methods of guidance, which is about for the Bodhisattva way. Bodhisattva's methods of guidance. So we talk about Bodhisattva, just as we talk about Buddha. Bodhi meaning enlightening, and sattva meaning being. And so we are given directions, you could say, or suggestions on what bodhisattva life is. And the thing I love about Buddhism most of all is that it isn't special. It doesn't require some kind of special personality, intelligence, wealth. Nothing is required except to practice. And practice itself is the way of opening and of ripening. It's a way of being ordinary, without pretension. There is some extra that goes along with it. This kind of thing is extra in a way. Our rituals aren't the same as going to the grocery store, it seems like. And yet, everything that we do is infused with bodhisattva practice. Infused in terms of Dogen's four guidance principles of giving, generosity, or gratitude, kind speech, beneficial action, and seeing self in other and other in self. And so we can see that it's all everyday kind of stuff. And so even as we sit and suffer in Zazen, and open in spite of ourselves, developing a big field of our mind, letting it grow, letting it be what it wants to be, opening what Uchiyama Roshi called opening the hand of thought. Usually our thought is a grasping kind of thing. We grit and grind our thoughts as they go by. Opening the hand of thought. You could say that's the first bodhisattva practice, the generosity of letting go of the thoughts, giving them away. Just not holding on. It's about clarifying and fully accepting the self. We think it's about throwing away the ego, but that's a lost cause. Actually, ego is a made-up thing in the first place. Best way is what Dogen said, take a backward step. Just step back and illuminate. Make the self enlightened. See how things really are. It's all a matter of each one of us. It's all a matter for you. And not your picture of yourself, not your hope for yourself, but what and who and where and how and when you are. So this first method of guidance is giving or generosity, and I've always noticed that it changes my mind when I give something. The grasping mind, the tight mind, the anxious mind has to let go when I give. It's natural. It's a chemical thing. And I think it can be measured now. But Dogen noticed it long, long ago. He said, giving away even a penny or a blade of grass or anything that we value will change our mind. If we're willing. And maybe I'll bore some of you by telling my favorite story about this, that I went to Dogen, went to Koban with a very big question, a Dharma question, and he said, oh, let's go to the park. So we went to the park, and he took along a bag of cookies for us. And we sat on the bench, and I was very antsy, and a great big dog came up and started nosing me, and I kept saying, go away, dog. I wanted to get my question out. And the dog kept getting in the way, and Koban reached into the bag of cookies and gave him a couple, and the dog trotted away. And I was extremely astonished and moved by his generosity, his even thinking to give the dog cookies. It never would have occurred to me to give that dog cookies. I just wanted to get rid of it. One of the best things about a teacher is not the words, but the guidance that comes from example. And that was always to me a very beautiful example. Nothing fancy, nothing full of golden light or any of that. It was just giving a dog a cookie. That makes me happy. Mind transforms the gift, and the gift transforms the mind, Dogen said. The next one is kind speech. And as you can hear, these are reflections of a lot of other lists that we have, the paramitas, the Four Noble Truths, the Bodhisattva vows. It's all the same thing, being lifted up in different ways, in different words, different expressions for really what we can't say. And yet we keep making that effort to say something. So Dogen says it's a wonderful thing. He says, with a kind mind, speech. Speak as if you're talking to a baby. Isn't that cool? Dogen said that. Not wishy-washy me, not little girl me, but Dogen said that. Speak kindly as if you were talking to a baby. Arouse the mind of compassion. When you see someone, anyone, and offer words of loving care. It's not the usual way that we are. We usually don't seem to have time for that. It's all we can do to get out the message and then rush on to do the next thing. It pleased me in France when I first went to France and walked into a bakery to buy a loaf of bread for a picnic. And I saw that there was a little ritual that went along with it, that the bakery lady said, "Bonjour, madame." And I said, "Bonjour, madame." And then she said, "And how can I help you?" And I said, "Well, I would like a loaf of bread." "Very well, madame." And then, so there was a way of connecting, even though it was brief. We met. We gave each other a good day. A good day. Wishing each other a good day. Kind speech. Just in a transaction with money. It's not the usual way. I try to do that now. It's kind of funny in America. It seems extra to people. And yet people do respond. It's about expressing our connection in an ordinary and simple way. How do we practice? With kind speech. So Dogen says, say to people, please treasure yourself. Please treasure yourself. So this morning, when Chris met with me, and she was feeling very miserable, very sick, and extremely unhappy to have to leave. And I reminded her that we would be holding her, and she would be holding us, and that there's no space between us. These were the kindest words I could think to say, and the truest ones for the situation. Please treasure yourself. So beneficial action is real action. It's how to be with people, how to help them. Use skillfulness. Use our intelligence and our discriminating mind. Know when to put it down and know when to pick it up. Be helpful and use your whole heart, just as Myogen did. His way was wholehearted as well as grateful. He's one of the fire monks who stayed at Tassajara against all the rules and regulations. They tried to get him out of there, and he stayed with a few more monks and fought the fire and saved Tassajara. That was an extreme example of his wholeheartedness. But each one of us has a whole heart. And sometimes our self-consciousness gets in the way of it. Oh, I couldn't do that. It would look too strange. Or it would make me too obvious. I would show. And that's probably the most important point in all of this. The fourth one. Identity action, it's called in the translation. I don't know how better to translate it, but it sounds peculiar. It means seeing no difference between self and other. My identity, your identity, same. Being aware of that, acknowledging that, being willing for that to be so is what this is about. In this way, we carry ourselves with dignity and self-respect. It's a curious thing, this business of self and other. It's very mysterious. And it's really the essence of our practice as we practice and as we drop away the self-concern that's always bugging us and let it go. We begin to find our way to others. A willingness to accept others. A willingness to let others in. And not to pick and choose. It's a very difficult practice. Our mind is very much designed to pick and choose. And it's part of its genius. We have to know what to do and when to do it. Very carefully know. But if we're comparing all the time, it's a different thing. If we're judging, that's a different thing. If we're deciding that I'm better than she is, or I'm worse than he is, that already is creating a whole disturbance in a mind that doesn't need to be disturbed that way. The truth is, there is no way to compare. The truth is, if I'm able to take in, the next step is to be allowed to be taken in. Do you know the difference? Dogen says, cause others to be in identity with you. So that's the first step. That's the most important one. Cause others to be in identity with you. Allow that to be true. And then allow yourself to be in identity with others. Allow that to be true. This takes some sitting with. It's about offering ourselves, which comes back to generosity, kind speech. Allow others to offer themselves to you. This is more difficult, usually. We can be generous before to others before we can allow others to. In a way, we become obliterated if we accept from others, are willing to be given to in a truly magnanimous way. We disappear into each other, and nobody's left. Just the gift itself. So we sit in a big field, and the longer we sit, the bigger the field becomes. Allow it, enjoy it, and be patient with it. We come expecting something to happen. And by about the third day, we begin to get a notion that maybe nothing's going to happen. Then what? What are we here for? Oh dear. So drop your expectation. Acknowledge the real truth, which is that we don't know. Don't know. We dearly, really don't know. And allow your warm-hearted curiosity to keep you on your seat and trust yourself. And trust what we call the other, which is all that you know and all that you are. Trust and let it go. Questions?
I have a question that I was reminded of a couple days ago when we were talking about different traditions and accepting them for what they are in their own right. And I'd like to ask you about something that I've wondered about from time to time for some time, involving Jesus. Assuming that Jesus of Nazareth is an historical figure, although perhaps ultimately it doesn't matter. But in any event, my question has to do with what I will term, for want of a more accurate way to put it, contemporary interpretations of what his message is. I have read a book on the subject. I have heard that some of the Gospels not included in the New Testament, for example, the Gospel of St. Thomas, talks along these lines if properly interpreted. It has been purported that it, in fact, essentially contains the koan, what is your face before your parents was born? Parents were born. I have attended a couple of retreats with a man who comes out of the Zen tradition but has kind of evolved his own style, which is not denominational, if you will. And I just got an email shortly before leaving home to come here announcing that he had just published a book on the subject. And I'm merely curious to know if you have an opinion about whether the stories of virgin birth and turning wine into water into wine and walking on water, notwithstanding Jesus, or at least the message that comes out of the New Testament, reflects a Middle Eastern Dogen, if you will.
Middle Eastern Dogen, I like that. I'm not sure Dogen or Jesus would appreciate that.
I take all blame.
Well, that's coming up everywhere these days, and Thich Nhat Hanh has done a great deal in that way. A number of my friends, the nun who lives at Felsentor, for one thing, is very much in that realm.
The one with the leather jacket.
Yes, the one with the leather jacket. Yeah, she doesn't usually wear that, but... Sister Teresia, Tenny Wright. There are a number of people who get to the nub of it. And so it isn't so necessary. Dogen said, don't call yourself a Buddhist. Wash your mouth out with soap, he said. So on the ultimate level, there really is no difference, beginning or ending. But, of course, culturally, there's a tremendous difference. Jesus' message was the same as Buddha's, the message of love, and the message that it's all love. That's our job, is to be that open wholeheartedness of being itself. But it's been turned into so many different flavors that it's hard to compare them, because Buddhism has so many different flavors also. Even the simplicity of Zen makes it hard to compare. I have two brothers who are very sincere Christians, and we have a hard time talking about it because they're so wedded to their connection to the Bible itself, that it's not just Jesus and Jesus' message, but a whole other thing that's a part of the message that becomes part of the Christian practice that is very different from our understanding. Their understanding of what is holy is different from ours. In fact, we'll talk about that a bit more farther down the line this week. It's very interesting to think about and to explore. And it's important to do that. The Judeo-Christian tradition is very rich and ancient and has much wisdom in it. And I think Buddha's instruction to, if we're looking for what's true, is to let what resonates in us be our guide. And try to stay flexible enough to change our mind if things turn a different way, but not stick to any one particular I don't want to say that, because we do have our way. And they have theirs. I don't think we need to worry about it. But I think the Elaine Pagel's work has been fascinating and wonderful. And if Jesus said all those things, the same things that Buddha did, that's fantastic. But it's not the general run of the Christian world at this point. I think that's the difference.
Well, Brother David.
Yes, Brother David is a good example. And his practice is gratitude. He has a website called Gratitude.
Has he published since the Gratefulness to Heart Prayers?
Oh, I think he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is going strong. He's traveling all over the world, and I think he's published another book. He's older than I am by quite a bit. Vanya carries him around. David?
Simpler question. I noticed in the new translations that I hadn't heard before, you're using now for the Heart Sutra, that I have a preference for my old way.
Yeah, me too.
And also, I noticed, unless I'm mishearing, a new pronunciation for what we used to call prajna. Prajna? No?
No, there's no ni in there.
That's what I thought. Yes.
There's a wiggle over the N,
yes.
Which is a nya. Yeah.
Prajna. Yeah. See, that must be what I'm hearing. Okay. And then, just to make this a little more meaningful, could you say something helpful, perhaps, about preferences? Dennis one time in passing said preferences are okay, and I think I agree with him.
Yes.
I wonder what you say.
Preferences are fine. I mean, that they have to be fine because that's what we do. Our survival depends on it. We prefer to eat rather than starve. We prefer to live under a shelter rather than live in the open in a storm. I mean, it's all a matter of common sense.
You got to have some way to navigate.
Absolutely, yeah. And that is our way. The thing is that in terms of the desires that we develop.
And about picking and choosing.
Picking and choosing, yeah. That's...
No, it's no difficulty. It just dislikes picking and choosing. And then there's preferences.
Well... It's sort of the same, isn't it? So, I always think it's a matter of too much of anything. that we're always wanting more, and that more is what gets us in trouble. So it's not that we it's about the self and enhancing the self and overfeeding the self, that if we're always choosing what's best for me, that kind of picking and choosing is what that old fellow meant, that it's all about where our focus lies. If it's for the best of all, everyone, including myself, then it's much more open and generous. If I'm picking and choosing to make everything the best for me, then it's just another way of getting in the way of everything, including oneself. So we get in our own way by picking and choosing.
I find myself not having many preferences. Well, a lot probably, but not as many as people want me to have. My ex-wife, for example, said, "Oh, David, you never know what to order, and when you do order, you order the wrong thing." And I used to smile and say, "Oh boy, I know that's not true." But I really, sometimes people say, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I'll say, "Well, I don't know, what do you want to do?" And it seems to be bothering me that I don't have more of a definite sense of what I want. Sounds like a silly question now.
No, it's not. That's a very serious question, to know what you want, to know what you really want, and then go there. That's what way-seeking mind is. It's not some holy woo kind of thing. It's following your own way, but following it with vigor. It doesn't have to be somebody else's way. It probably wouldn't be all the time. But it's always for all of us a matter of finding our way and going there, knowing what we need and what we want, knowing what others need and what they want, and doing it. Dogen's whole focus was about action, not about the thoughts and the feelings and the acey-spacey stuff that happens when we sit. It's about sheerly about action. How to do. And just do it. Life is short. Sonia?
When I heard David say that it's starting to bother me that I don't know what I want, or your ex-wife said, "You just don't know what you want," the first time you said that it didn't matter. That's the way you are, and I would love to be that way. Oh, it would be so nice just to be, rather than have all these opinions. I think, to me, it's a wonderful thing, and forget about the ex-wife, and just be, and do we have to have a path? I mean, isn't, if you're just walking and you're content, and obviously you're here because you want to be here. Nobody made you come here. So the path is there and you're walking it. Why do we have to have a specific... Yeah, I mean, if we're clear about the path, you go with vigor and all of that. But if we were all that way, we'd be killing each other. I mean, we do anyway, but... but
sure,
I mean, I feel so strongly about David being the way he is. And I'm not disagreeing... Well, I'm disagreeing with you very little. Does it make sense?
You have a point. You certainly have a point. The problem, if it's a problem, is that we're not really made that way. That even if we went out and lived in a cave somewhere and completely were being, we would be being in some kind of way. And we would be following the way. We would be there because we had gone there. And we would stay there because we were intending to stay there. We would be following some kind of path all the way along.
Yeah, I mean, there is a way. I'm not saying there isn't a way, but the way it's happening as he's walking. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of us have the way is over there and we're going to go there.
No.
But maybe his way is just happening as he's going along.
Well, that other thing you said isn't so. The way isn't ever over there. You're right in
That's
the middle.
Not the way that you're talking about.
You're right in the middle of it, wherever you are.
Right.
So it's about committing to where you are. And then going on in the way that is you're being called to go, you could say.
But sometimes it's not clear what the way is because it keeps changing.
Absolutely.
So you go with it.
Yes.
Are we talking about the same thing, David?
I'm moved by it. I'm not sure what you mean. But thanks for your support.
No, because it's so clear to me that he's got a way, you know.
But he also has a question.
Right. Yeah. Or else he wouldn't have asked it.
Yes. Thank you. No, your questions are always just the best.
You can take them to lunch and order for them.
Take his wife to her expectations.
No, we're going to leave her alone.
Oh, no, you don't want to do that. Jane?
Today at lunch, I was sitting across from you, and we had discussed yesterday, when you were not at lunch, about two different ways, the Jikoji way and the floating zendo way of Orioki. And the intention was that we, with so many people, that we go quickly. That's one level. And then another level was, perhaps the more important level, is that the meal is, we're one body. We're Buddha's body eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jikoji's way is not to, so we agreed, not to wait for the other person, for example, before you start cleaning your bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And not to wait for the other person before you bundle your bowl.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, it's really interesting. Well, or else I wouldn't be talking about it, but you be the judge if it's interesting. That it's... the intention is very clear, and I understand it, and I think it's an excellent intention. And we're talking about preferences again, but we're also talking about every time there's a new opportunity to take action, and what's behind it, and what's your intention. So, with you today, I assumed that you hadn't heard that agreement. Mm. And I was so glad, well, to do the old way, you know, the way that I'm used to doing. And it's not just that, it's also, for me, that way of pausing together and bowing together. And I didn't do the last bow when we tied up our Buddha bowls, because, you know, I was thinking, well, we're not supposed to be doing this. So it's exactly like what you were saying in your talk, that, you know, the compassionate act, well, you know, others are going to think. It was a really stupid, it was a cop-out when I decided not to bow with you. It's so silly. I know, it's not important, but just to see how the mind works. It's only a small thing, I understand.
That's why we have this ritual, because it does all kinds of things to us.
Yeah.
makes it very complicated.
Well, I guess it does sound like it's complicated. I guess the form, I think it's beautiful. I think that the form is, it's an occasion to see the self in other and how we are with each other. And there's always these choices to just stay,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're both right, you know. They're both, it's the intention behind it.
Well, it's mostly these things are about how we are all in this together. So it's just a matter of convenience more than anything. It's how we can fly like the birds across the sky. We fly in a formation because actually I just read the person in front lifts the air for the person behind, and so it goes better that way. They all fly better. And that's why we all sit together in this way and do things together. But we have to agree. And then if we agree and people get used to it, like chanting the Heart Sutra in one way, and then somebody fiddles around with it and makes it different, and then we get all disturbed because it's different. It's just the way our mind works. And it's polite if we're at Jikoji to do it the Jikoji way. So I was trying to do it the Jikoji way and trying not to keep up with you, but you kept keeping up with me, so...
No, I was keeping up with you, Angie.
I see.